You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Happy Thursday, everybody. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt, hanging out with you here this morning. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. You'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Josh, it's a weird morning.
Why do you say that?
You know, I was talking with Jeremy and Joe as they were leaving and we were coming in, and it's like, you know, the morning starts, Darlene watching practice from the sideline in a hoodie and shorts. Joe Yerden, friend of the show, friend of the station, described it as, if you could describe someone's posture as pissed, that would be accurate. So that's wonderful news to begin the day.
Super cool.
And then I get here this morning, and, you know, real quick, I'll sit in my car for like 5-10 minutes, you know, gather my belongings, and I'll check Twitter to see if I missed anything, you know, within the 10-20 minutes it took me to drive here. And I see Mel Kiper apparently wants, like, defenses shot into the sun. And I'm just like, I feel like we're reacting a little too aggressively. I feel like we're being a bit much.
You want to add something else on top of this?
No, but hit me with it.
Jaromir Jagr is going to retire at the end of the season from professional hockey.
And he's 52. He's 52. I feel like he's 20 years too late.
Hey, whoa. 20 years?
You're 52. Why are you still playing hockey?
They put him at 32.
That feels
exhausting. Jeff Skinner is 32. You want Jeff Skinner to retire?
All right, 15 then. 35 to 37-ish. In that range, should have retired.
Alex Ovechkin.
Also should probably retire.
No. Jaromir Jagr
also,
is
also
like,
real quick on that. He's a physical specimen that like drinks Coke out of a water bottle during games and think he's fine.
Well, yeah.
That's not normal.
Yeah, it is.
At a professional athlete level?
For the 80s and 90s it was.
Not normal.
Hey, whatever.
I'm having this moment today. And real quick.
There's a lot going on.
We will talk about Darlene because that one I am genuinely nervous about. But on the Mel Kiper thing, and that's sort of where I want to take today's show as well, is like, can we all relax? It's been 2 weeks. It's not even October yet. Like,
well, yeah.
Like, offenses will figure it out. Offensive coordinators also get paid just like defensive coordinators get paid. Mm-hmm. They'll figure it out. I also think a major problem with teams not being able to go deep is their offensive lines suck. For the most part across the league. It's why offensive linemen, when they're good, typically don't hit free agency.
Joel.
Until, like, they're very old.
Right.
I mean, even Mitch Morris, you know, going from the Chiefs to the Bills was a little weird, but the Chiefs had kind of somewhat already replaced him and were sort of looking forward, and the Bills had to make him the highest paid center in football. Did anyone ever think Mitch Morris was the best center in football?
No, but he was good.
He was good enough.
He was serviceable. He was better than average. And that's, if you're a lineman and you're better than average, and I'm not saying all of them are, but if you're better than average, you're going to get a big contract. And sure, there's some that are different than others. Like Deion Dawkins is
We took
better.
A call last week on Deion Dawkins, someone not being like,
right,
thinking he's constantly overrated.
He's not.
About correctly rated. There's just not many great offensive linemen in football.
Right.
There just isn't.
Because your job is to stop seven other guys built exactly like you from getting to your quarterback, and half the time.
Well, I think there's other reasons why offensive line play is down in the NFL.
Well, no, I'm just saying in general, like not even right now, just over the course of the NFL's history, linemen have always had issues with this because it's a hard job to do. That's one of the harder jobs, physically wise.
It takes a lot of chemistry.
Yep.
With all five guys.
I mean, we saw in the Bears game, the Bears right guard, was just standing there looking around like, who do I block? And there's three open guys and all three of them get to Caleb Williams.
It takes incredible amount of chemistry. It takes you just being flat out a good player.
Yep.
But like college more than the NFL is like notorious for the trenches win national championships. Yeah. I mean, just flat Alabama dominated the 2010s into the 2020s purely off the fact of they had the best front seven on defense and they had the best front five on offense.
Yep.
It was year over year. That's what won them national championships. Mark Ingram gets the Heisman Trophy. You know, Tua Tagovailoa gets the Tank for Tua headlines. But that's what did it for him. George is doing the same thing now. I mean, look at the Philadelphia Eagles. They have most of the defensive line.
They're literally
Georgia.
They are the Philadelphia Bulldogs.
And then that's how it goes. You know, look at the Bills. Cedric Van Pran and Pran Granger is a fifth round pick. But all of us here starting center for Georgia for 5 years and we're like, now wait a second.
Right.
That's interesting. And then you look at this year, Texas. Texas's big thing is their offensive line play. If four of their five starters have played for 3 years together, Calvin Banks Jr. is going to be probably the first tackle taken off the board. What are they now? The first ranked team since 2000, for the first time since 2008, they're ranked number one in the AP poll, and they're having Arch Manning go back there and effectively not miss a beat, even though he at times looked lost against UTSA. But because of that offensive line just holding up like it does, you're fine. They've also honored like their fourth, fifth running back, carving out like 10 yards a carry.
I have an interesting comparison here, and I don't know if it's fully there yet. Are offensive linemen like relief pitchers in baseball? You have
not sexy, but you need them.
Yeah, and 6 times out of 10, they're going to let you down, but the 4 times they pick you up, they really pick you up.
Well, remember, I mean, too, what's also the best thing about an offensive lineman? If you don't hear anything. If I hear nothing about an offensive lineman, he's likely having a great day. And that's why I've been a big proponent of, you know, like, they signed Deion Dawkins. He had his best year last year. He's continuing into this year. Mm-hmm. Spencer Brown got paid right before the season started. I thought that was great to do so. He's an ascending player.
Osiris Torrance is probably going to get the same thing in a few
years. We'll see. I mean, he's going through a little bit of a sophomore slump. But why I was
but
big
so
on
did
even
Spencer Brown.
Yeah, but even like drafting him in the first round. Mm-hmm. I mean, they ultimately don't. They draft him in the second round. But I was big on him potentially even being a first round pick because of the ability he had at guard. If they could have 3 of their 5 offensive linemen locked up for the next 5 years, you didn't even have to worry about it.
Well, and even look
they were heading in the right direction.
Look at Connor McGovern too. I mean, he mm-hmm. is proven to be pretty versatile in terms of playing all last year at left guard, and then over the summer it's like, hey, remember when you used to play center? Can you do that again? Sure, and it's working.
Sure,
like it's working so far. I mean, sure, there was two issues, but in terms of fumbles from Allen, but one was not on the snap, and the other one was when he had his glove on because of his hand.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really think you can really fault anything so far from Connor McGovern in terms of being a center and snapping the ball. Because that's, I mean, obviously the center has to block as well, but would you say 75% of the center's job is to snap the ball correctly to your quarterback?
No, I'd say 50. The other 50 is being quarterbacking of the offensive line.
Oh, that's
line.
True. They are kind of the leader of.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair.
I would put it 50-50.
That's fair, because I didn't think of him as like the leader of the offensive line, but you're right. That's true.
They help call protections, everything like that.
That's
just,
okay.
But for me, I think we're going too far into the aggressive, like, the league needs to step in, cover, or you know, two high safeties is ruining the league. It's been around for a few years. And ultimately, offenses will adapt. The great quarterbacks will still play great. They're still going to have their moments. Also, I think another big issue, and this pains me to say, because as a preseason denier, this has pained me. But like, yeah, maybe your starters should play a little bit in the preseason, because oftentimes in these last few years, not just the Bills, but across the board, NFL offenses have seemed just shaky at best. But in, you know, 2-3 years before, you know, you did have guys like Allen and Mahomes lighting everybody up. 2020 is kind of the perfect example of that, you know, now 4 years ago, where nobody had preseason football, and it did somewhat help offensive numbers explode early on.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're being all a little aggressive. You know, talk to me at week 10. If offensive numbers, and specifically passing numbers, are still down, and like the leading passing yards guy is going to be like 3,500 yards, and the most touchdown passes we'll have this year is like 28, then talk to me. Now we're starting to get towards like the 80s and the 70s. I get it. But right now I'm like, relax, calm down. Like, teams are still figuring themselves out. There's a lot of injuries going around as well. Ask literally any fantasy owner. You're likely stressing about one of your guys being down. I think there's a number of issues, but like to see like going on ESPN that like Mel Kiper's like, nah, too high safety should be banned. I'm like, all right. I get it's ESPN. I understand. But like, let's chill.
Is this like the sports cliche of there's a superstar player coming onto a team, he earns his starting spot, and then he kind of slacks off for a little bit, and then all of a sudden this young new hotshot comes in, proves himself, and takes the starting role? That's what defensive coordinators are doing right now. They figured out how to finally stop these deep ball explosive plays for most of the time. Mm-hmm. And now offensive coordinators are sitting up like, oh man, we got to figure something out here. What's going on? We should just ban that. That's not fair.
And that's my thing.
Offensive coordinators are not saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Mel Kiper is the one that said that. But at the same time, if we're all thinking it, they have to be thinking it too, right? If we're thinking about how much this has changed, how much these defenses have impacted this, offensive coordinators are, one, probably a little upset because they figured they had it made. They figured out what to do to combat against these good defenses and just get the ball over the top. But now they're just spending their time, okay, what's next? What can we do next to change the game and get ahead of these defenses again?
I think it's just, well, it's, and that's my thing, is like any of this talk is just, it's downplaying offensive coordinators and the importance they play, or even offensive head coaches, the importance they play in scheming up to where we got to the point where, yeah, defenses were getting carved up. Did rule changes help? Of course. But that's what made it so fun. Offenses have changed all the time, though. I mean, this is the natural progression of the sport.
I mean,
I don't think it's ever going to get to the point where running backs are yearly running for like close to 2,000 yards, and all of a sudden we're talking again about, you know, is a 2,000 yard rusher going to break the record and they're winning MVP? I just don't see that ever happening.
But we always see the change between running backs and wide receivers, right? We always see that fluctuation up and down.
But I don't even think it's ever going to get there. I think it's going to change within this year.
What the what do you mean? The scheme thing?
I think passing numbers will start to go up as the year goes on. Receivers are too talented across the league. Quarterback play is too good. And offensive coordinators have never been smarter. I think defenses have like kind of gotten to the forefront. And if you've got talent, if you've got the right mind, Sean McDermott with the Bills, sure, you're good. But right now we're just seeing this kind of like, oh, okay, all right, we've got to like change this up. I do think, though, a big part of this is not the two-high safety look. I think it is poor offensive line play, or at least the depth of offensive line play, is not really there for a lot of teams. You're already seeing the Eagles, without Jason Kelce, look a little bit different and can't do things as much as they'd like to, and that's one guy.
I think you can also put this, if you want to look more in the forefront of things, in what will be in the spotlight, because, yes, I think your offensive line point is correct, but I think what people are going to focus more on, aside from the coordinators, is quarterbacks and how they play the game. You're going to see a lot more people try to get their quarterback to play like Josh Allen, to play like Patrick Mahomes. And obviously they were already trying to do that because those two are the two best quarterbacks in the NFL. But when you look at who you have around the league that's available to be able to combat these offenses and take care of this too high safety issue, you have Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and who else? Right?
Yeah.
Like you don't have those guys that can throw that ball and uncork it deep downfield and make something happen.
At a consistent rate.
Because like Anthony Richardson can throw the ball down the field, but he can't do it accurately. He can't do it consistently. And you look at I look at a guy like Baker Mayfield, too. He has Mike Evans, one of the most consistent wide receivers in the NFL, in NFL history. But Baker Mayfield has never been really thought of as this, I'm going to uncork it and throw it over the top and throw a 90-yard touchdown. Right? Like, it's not going to be, that's not his style. But at the same time, are quarterbacks like him who have that ability or potentially have that ability going to try to adapt to that, right? Or are coaches going to want them to adapt to that because of this change? Like, is that the solution that these offensive coordinators are going to try to think up? Are they going to try to get their quarterbacks to change themselves?
I think for me, it's going to be, this is also not going to be like the one look. I mean, it's already not the one look defensive coordinators are giving you, but like when you start to have like teams regularly, I mean, it's not like points are down, it's passing numbers are down.
Yeah.
And passing touchdown numbers are down.
Passing yards too.
Because, yards, touchdowns, all that.
If you look at it, you could just do what the Bills have done the first 2 weeks here and pass the short ball and go down the field.
That's what the Chiefs did last year.
Right.
I mean, so like ultimately, and the Chiefs' biggest problem is their wide receivers were actively a hindrance to their team. It was not like they were just bad. They were actively hurting the team. And so that's ultimately my thing, is just defenses will then have to adjust accordingly to essentially everyone running a sort of West Coast spread offense of bubble screens and quick outs and stuff like that and RPOs. They're going to have to adjust and bring the safeties in, which then will lead to these teams going, the two safeties are in, go deep. It's a chess match. Stop watching movies to think football is dumb. Yeah, it is a chess match.
You lull the defense into a sense of security of this is what they're going to do, and then boom, there it goes over the top.
We are through 2 weeks. It is a topic to discuss. I don't disagree because, I mean, you've brought up the list too of like how starkly passing touchdown numbers over like the first week, 2 weeks have dropped over the last 3 years. But it's not going to stay the same. It is going to change. The league is favoring quarterbacks. They always will. Even when running the ball was the way to go, quarterbacks were still the stars. The Jets have not forgotten Joe Namath. He played in the 60s. So, I mean, like, that's my thing, is like the days of
the undefeated Dolphins where Bob Greasy threw like a total of 7 passes in a game. That's not coming back. We are not going back to the days of the 2000 Ravens with Jamal Lewis running the ball and it's all defense and Trent Dourfield just don't throw picks. They're not going to go back to that. But they are going to have to kind of play around with this. I don't want defenses to stop playing the game because I like watching quarterbacks throw touchdowns. I watch college football for that. You know, as ridiculous as that sounds, the saying has stayed the same. College, you win games by scoring touchdowns. Who cares about how many first downs you have? Score big touchdowns. It's big plays. In the NFL, it is putting together first downs. It is sustaining drives. It is going for it when appropriate. It is going for it when you've got the advantages.
It's possession.
It's possessions.
Yeah.
That's why, like, while yes, turnovers are huge, that is where having the game-changing quarterbacks like Mahomes and Allen does kind of change the game. Because before, and that's why I think a lot of coaches still harp on this, the turnovers are disasters. But when you do have the game-breaking quarterbacks like Mahomes and Allen, one or two picks in a game doesn't kill you because every possession those two have feels too much.
Do you think that this could send ripples down to college football?
Absolutely not. College is not talented enough.
Well, in the way that coaches try to coach their quarterbacks, or that quarterbacks and other players in the offense want to play. Because if you're looking, like if I'm a college quarterback right now in my sophomore, junior year, and I'm saying, all right, I want to make it to the NFL, right? And I've played like this for so long, but hey, that might not work at the NFL level. Should I change my style?
We already kind of went
through
this.
And same with like wide receivers, or even if you're like an offensive coordinator in college.
But I mean, we already went through this with pro style based off college style, how guys couldn't take it from under center, or they didn't even know how to call plays because they were all just kind of given to them from the sideline. Yeah. That's probably never going to change. It's more or less just when they get into the NFL, you simplify it and then sort of give them more as they go. It's why you will see at times a talented rookie year and then a sophomore slump. They're giving them maybe too much or more than they could handle, what have you. College, it won't change just purely off the fact of teams aren't deep enough and talented enough. I think especially now in the NIL era, you're seeing just, you know, as an example, the SEC, Ole Miss. Ole Miss in the old BCS era, even the 4-team college playoff era, couldn't compete with Alabama, with Georgia, with Auburn, when Texas had a good coach with Texas, Oklahoma, USC, what have you. Now all of a sudden they can because teams are not able to just hoard talent like Smaug in The Hobbit and just treasure. They couldn't just do that. I mean, Alabama had effectively walk-ons as 4-stars. You know, and it only goes up to 5-stars. Now, all of a sudden, the talent pool is being distributed much more. Guys that aren't starting by, like, year 2 are transferring to go to Ole Miss or Mississippi State or what have you. The talent pool is not deep enough. We're in the NFL. We're seeing practice squad players. We're seeing it on the Bills. Practice squad players can come in and make a legitimate impact on the game. That is not always true in college. Oftentimes, if you get like that guy that's like the 3rd, 4th, 5th guy on the roster, it's a disaster. There's a clear difference. I think it's a big reason, and again, just kind of bring the point back home to the offensive line, that I think is the big reason why passing numbers are down right now, is offensive line play is not that great. Offensive line play, top to bottom, is not that awesome. You have the stars. Don't get me wrong. You have great players. It's not deep enough. You know, here, perfect example. Cleveland loses 2 of their offensive linemen in week 1. They couldn't do anything. Dallas, who the next week gets annihilated by New Orleans. I mean, annihilated. It was never a game. But the week prior against Cleveland, they're able to just pin their ears back and just ruin the game. And I think that's the thing. Offensive line, it never is given the credit it really is due. It is one of the most – the trenches in general, defensive line counts as well – is one of the most important position groups in the sport. If you have a bad either, you are limited in what you can do. That's why I always understood why Bean was trying to build the defensive line. My issue was I never thought he went for high potential guys. I thought he went for high floor guys that would just be good rotational pieces. I always thought that their plan was sort of to build the 2017 Philadelphia Eagles defensive line, which was a rotation, but they did have elite guys like a Fletcher Cox who could – you kept him in the entire game, and he was a game wrecker. That's where I think they want to go with Von Miller. Ultimately, I think the plan works if Von never tears his ACL because you're seeing it now, a year removed from that torn ACL recovery.
He's got sacks in back-to-back games.
And his pressure rate has been off the charts. He's been everywhere on the field. And you're seeing it as well. Rousseau, 3 sacks in game one. And he's kind of also been around the field. Ed Oliver, same thing. I think we're having a very different conversation about Von Miller as a Bill if he never tears his ACL. Number one, I think his first year he's gotten well over double-digit sacks. He was at 8 before he gets hurt, and we still had half the season to go. And you're likely also looking at a Rousseau not having a down year last year where he only had 5. It's a very different situation that they've got there. But I just don't think it's as aggressive of a discussion as it is. I think it's putting the cart before the horse. Again, if we're by week 10, 11, 12, and again, like we're sitting here going, man, the leading passing yards guy is on pace for 3,800 yards, maybe, and the most passing touchdowns in the league this year is going to be 30. Sure, then we'll look at it and go, all right, has this too high safety look like just completely destroyed what offenses are able to do? And then yes, I do believe the league will absolutely act. Offenses is what sells. College football is built off the big play. It's what's kept it popular, even with all the conference realignments and rivalries and traditions kind of being thrown to the wayside. You know big plays are coming. I mean, Arch Manning against UTSA has like 3 top 10 plays because it's just like they're all like 75 yards, what have you. Oregon for years was forgotten in the Pac-12. They weren't built to win a national championship, but they were exciting. They were really cool to watch. And, what's one of the most hated national championships of recent memory? It's the rematch between Alabama and LSU a number of years ago where it ended like 10-3. It was awful. No one liked it. It was awful.
I think also, too, what this is going to lead to on the defensive side is how teams that don't have the better safeties or the good defensive mind, like how the Bills have Sean McDermott, like, if you look at the Bills' safety room, not to say that the safeties aren't bad, right? But I think McDermott's defensive game plan certainly elevates them more than other coaches would. But if you're a team that doesn't have a good defensive mind and doesn't have the best safety room, I'm kind of interested to see how these teams adapt to this and try to create their own version of it or just improve themselves to come to this style of play, right? Because not every team is focused solely on this. And not every team, even the ones that are heavily using this too high safety look, they're not using it the whole game. Mm-hmm. They're just using it in the right moment. And I think that's the other part too, is this whole discussion of banning this, it's not like this is running the entire game. You can't do that. It just doesn't work. Like you were saying earlier, if you just have a team that runs a bunch of RPOs and bubble screens, eventually, those teams are going to have to pull those safeties in and change it up.
Well, and also what you're doing, what the defense wants you to do.
Right.
And which is not what you want to do.
Exactly.
You want to confuse them. And I think that's the thing. That's why I'm like, it's so early. Let's calm down. Because teams are doing – the Bills aren't even running the ball all that well.
Right.
That's the crazy thing. Like, people are excited about James Cook. He won Offensive Player of the Week. Cool. Like, he had 3 touchdowns. Didn't really play that much. I think he played half of, like, their 44 snaps on offense.
Right.
But the Bills themselves are not actually even running the ball all that well. The first half against Arizona, they did.
Yeah, and then the second half was
not good.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's the thing. It's like, even running the ball is not necessarily a good solution. It is just it's a kind of solution now. And you're going to have to see teams react to it and change. I'm excited for that. I don't see it as a problem. I see it as something to keep an eye on with the league as it goes. And let's not act like big passing numbers are just going to completely disappear or not being seen at all. You already mentioned the Anthony Richardson 60-yard bomb to Alec Pierce. Sam Darnold, I just saw it on the replays here on the TV, had a 99-yard touchdown to Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
And he was double covered, but he threw it in a perfect spot.
And you know what else?
And Jefferson was there.
When you look at the All-22 on that, he had another wide receiver wide open that he could have thrown to if he didn't want to throw it to Justin Jefferson. That receiver came in and blocked for Jefferson so he could get to the end zone.
So I think for me is like, maybe let's take a timeout. Let's relax. Again, let's wait a few more weeks and actually put trust into the part of the field, part of the game that we enjoy so much and actually give hope and faith to them that they'll figure it out.
And going back to Anthony Richardson, let's not forget who his head coach is, Shane Steichen. Also, look at all of the other offensive minds that almost got head coaching jobs last year in the offseason. The one in Bobby Slowick, right?
Houston.
Who's the one in Detroit?
Ben Johnson.
Those two. Those two are going to become head coaches at some point, and I think we're going to look at them as potentially the next Andy Reid in terms of coming up with a new revolutionary offensive play style that's going to kind of combat this a little bit,
or,
and it's going to confuse teams.
Or the new guy. Clint Kubiak with the Saints,
right? Yeah.
Where they have literally lit the league on fire,
and they're
by changing it up.
I hope they do it again this week because I just
by attacking the middle of the field using spacing. I mean, like they've been a lot of fun to watch. I mean, any Alvin Kamara fantasy owners, like, keep it going, baby. But I mean, Chris Olave, please.
Touchdown. Right.
But it's not like it's all been doom and gloom, and we're in an era where like everyone looks like the 1984 Bears or 85 Bears and the 2000 Ravens.
It just looks that way because of the fact, like, if Allen and Mahomes weren't, like, not that Allen and Mahomes have had bad weeks, but if they would have had more characteristic first 2 weeks, this would be a completely different conversation. Because everyone that's looking at this and freaking out and going, oh, we have to ban this, you're looking at it as, well, even the superstars can't combat it. Well, look at what Derek Carr is doing. Derek Carr with
looks like the MVP frontrunner.
Yeah, he is going insane in New Orleans when everybody thought he was washed up and done for 2 years ago. And now
last year too.
and even again with Anthony Richardson, a little more accuracy on this kid, and he's got some of the craziest touchdowns of the season so far. I mean, he already has one of them to Alec Pierce.
A little bit more. I need a lot more.
Well, okay, right, fair. But my point is the only reason people are freaking out is because the big teams, the Chiefs, the Bills, the Bengals, the Ravens, the 49ers. I mean, not really the 49ers. That's never been their real style of play, throwing it over the top. Yep. But the teams that you know can throw the ball down the field and will throw the ball down the field are the ones that are not doing it. So that's why everyone's freaking out. Everyone's, you know, it's the end of the world because those four teams can't do it. Well, they'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. It's just going to take a little time. Yeah. And some of them don't have the personnel. The Bills might not have the personnel to do that anymore. It might be just a little bit of a different play style from them, a different type of offense. That's what we've talked about all offseason.
Yep. 803-0550 is the number to call. I mean, what are your takes on the defensive numbers, the passing numbers? I'm somebody, let's be patient, let's see. And also, I enjoy the chess match of the game of football. I don't want it to just be all offense all the time. Again, 803-0550 is the number to call if you want to join the show. We've also got Sal Capaccio coming up at 11 o'clock to give his thoughts on this as well. I'm definitely going to ask him, but also a check-in on the Bills as well. They had practice yesterday, although the first official injury report of the week is expected to come out today with them playing on Monday night. Zach Jones and Josh Mitt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.